Today, I would like to read to you Radhe Shyam. Oh, Dhanyavad, Sanjay Babaji. You are coming with Radharani's Kripa. You bring Radharani's Kripa. Thank you. We will serve you afterwards. This comes directly from Sri Chimandia. We are very well connected. I think Madhava Prabhu, if you just put it there, then at the end of the program we will serve it. Hey Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A few days ago, we celebrated, or at least we knew there was Gopashtami, and I want to read to you a few pastimes surrounding Gopashtami, because I really feel it's very encouraging to hear how Lord Krishna and Balaram acted towards the calves and the cows of Vrindavan. It gives us a lot of encouragement, because if we think that, why does Krishna carry so much, let me say, esteem in his heart for the calves and the cows? So much that, you know, when Krishna has a flute and he plays in the afternoon his flute and calls each single of his 900,000 cows with the tune of his flute, and then he has special jewel counting beads on which he counts each of the cows and calves. And now it never happens that Krishna forgets one of his cows or calves. And I wanted to say these are many. I mean, I sometimes heard 900,000, but then I heard an unlimited number of cows and calves. He never forgets, and sometimes his cows are testing him on this. They purposefully don't come when Lord Krishna calls the cows together, to see if Krishna notices that I am not here. And then Krishna looks and he sees, Syavali is not there. And then Krishna personally makes an effort to go to where Syavali is hiding. He says, Syavali, come, I'm waiting for you. And Syavali goes, wow! Comes with great enthusiasm and love to meet Lord Krishna. So I feel when we hear this, we think that where Krishna cares for his cows, he certainly will also care for me if I carry love and affection in my heart. You know, we feel hopeful. If he cares for a cow, then he might care also for me. No? We feel like that. So I will now sing to it. I will not try to sing, because you will not have much benefit of my singing, but I will read to you the following song which the fair and beautiful gopis were singing with voices which were broken by bliss. Radhe Radhe.
Author Leo, sir.
Tick, 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 tick. Yes, tick. Dhanyavad, dhanyavad. Rati, Rati. He said so many people, so they must get all prasadam. It's an important part of Braj culture to give to make sure that everyone gets prasadam. This is how the love is manifested. And we in the West can't understand it, but it's very important for the Braj Basis to show their love by offering prasadam. I mean, here no one will get hungry, you know, if he is in that circle of devotees. The problem is almost to say, it's enough, you know. So here's the song, which the gopis sing with words which are broken by bliss. You know, they start to sing and then, they can't continue. Only after some time they can continue. They sing. Our friend Krishna and Balaram enthusiastically plays, and all their friends laugh. Krita Haso means they laugh. They playfully hold the tail of a calf. Then they engage in a friendly quarrel. They hold sticks to protect the cows. Griha griha vikshana sakshana netro. Sakshana netro means they happily glance at each house as they pass. When Krishna Balaram goes through Vrindavan, they happily look at each house. Drutatana kamanu vidrutavanto. They quickly follow the moving calves as they walk in a long line. Oh, Krishna Balaram's forms are like autumn rain clouds, and their restless eyes are like splendid lightning flashes. When Krishna Balaram look, their glance carries so much shakti or potency that they resemble lightning, but not aggressive, but very soft lighting. And the gopis like this sing about the faces of Radha and Krishna, which have curly locks, how Radha and Krishna wear how Krishna Balaram wear fine garments of blue and gold. Balaram has a blue dhoti. And then the gopis talk about something very nicely, and that is the tinkling of the ankle bells on Krishna's lotus feet. It makes a very attractive sound, which announces to the devotee that soon Krishna's lotus feet will step into the path of his eyes. First, the sound announces Krishna's lotus feet coming, almost like a king is announced by the drumming. And then, after some time, you will see his a chariot, maybe, or horses, and then you will see the king. So Krishna's coming is usually announced by the tinkling of the bells of his lotus feet. You first hear that, then Krishna walks into the path of your eyes. Sometimes also Krishna is announced by the wonderful fragrance, the smell. So this is something about Krishna, I want to read to you today how Krishna first took care of the calves, and when he was older, when he left the Kumara years, that is the years when he was a child, and entered the age of Puganda. That's also a child, but not a very young child. Puganda starts when a child is 5 years old, and Krishna and Balaram's Puganda age was when their intelligence, strength and attractiveness and also their glowing increased, and when all the different parts of their bodies began to bloom, especially the eyes began to bloom. At that time also the soft signs on Krishna's lotus feet, which you can see over there, the discus and the lotus flowers and the octagon and the jambu fruits and the fish and the half moon and the bow and everything, all these signs were very vague when Krishna was up to 5 years old. But when he changed from 5 years into six, it became very distinct. And when he would walk, everyone could see the very attractive footprints which marked Lord Krishna. So one morning, Abhinandan's wife quickly entered the room of Braja's queen, Mother Yashoda, and asked, "Where did your son Krishna, where was he this morning?" And Yashoda smiled. And with great love she said, I was not there. Usually I would, when Krishna would get up, I would massage his soft body with fragrant oils, and I would bathe him and dress him in his garments. But now he's no longer in the Kumara age. He's no longer a child under five. He's six. And he now doesn't want to be dressed by his mother any longer. He feels a little embarrassed. And now his servants, who are all boys of his own age, serve him in all these ways. Isn't that lovely? I remember when I became 6 years or 7 years, I would no longer walk with my grandfather hand in hand. I would tell my grandfather, "I can walk alone now. I'm 6 years. I'm no longer 5 years and under five." And my grandfather told me that I would at that time no longer hold hands, because now I was a big boy. And I ran and climbed trees and did everything. Only when dogs came, then I was with my grandfather, because they were bigger than me. Krishna also, Yashoda says, "So I was not there in the morning. I had to go, and the servant boys had to take care of my dear Krishna." Then he came fully dressed and bathed before his father and myself and the elders, and he paid his respectful obeisances. He's now in the Puganda age. So then Mother Yashoda says all this, and the ladies all smile. They understand. Yeah? He's not a big boy, our Krishna. What the Yashoda says, even though Krishna is no longer a small child, I always think of him in that way. Thus I attain the greatest happiness in my life, by thinking of my little boy as a little boy. In Raj they say, Shishu. Shishu is small boy. Shishu. I perform a ritual every day by sipping water three times a day. And I pray that he's protected when he now runs and goes his own way. It's the love of Mother Yashoda. So, once it so happened that Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna talking with his brothers Sananda and Nandana, and they were talking a little on the side. They were talking very many things. And afterwards, Nanda Maharaj asked his two brothers, "What did you talk about so lively? Krishna doesn't talk like this to me." Sananda and Nandana. And what is the name? Nandana? Nandana. They said, "Well, we are his uncles. We talk a little bit more freely and open. Krishna doesn't talk like this to you because you are his father and he's so respectful to you." "Yes," said Nanda Maharaj, "but I would like to know what Krishna talked with you which he doesn't talk with me about." And then Sananda and Nandana gave the shocking news. Krishna said he's now big enough. He doesn't want to take care any longer of the calves. Now he's ready to take care of the cows.
There, Krishna.
Upananda, this is the other brother of, you know, Nanda Maharaj has four brothers, said, "What exactly did Krishna Balaram say?" And Sanandana said, "They said, we are now past the first stage of our life. Still, our glorious father does not allow us to take care of the cows." Hearing these words and looking at Krishna Balaram's faces, the cowherd men, filled with wonder, silent and earnestly desiring Krishna Balaram's welfare, said to King Nanda, "Yeah, they are still very young, we agree. But your sons are extraordinary intelligent, and they have strength and courage that we are filled with wonder. It must be because of the power of the austerities which you performed that your sons attained this wonderful nature. The demons which have come to attack them, they're all perished and destroyed because they don't have so much intelligence and strength as Krishna and Balaram. So don't worry. You can entrust the cows to them and they can go out in Vrindavan. You have done so much austerity. Your sons have therefore so much intelligence and strength. No problem." What is the austerity which Nanda Maharaj did? Well, he followed every Ekadasi by fasting completely from even water. And they say, "This is because you did this to get a son. Therefore, your sons are so strong and so intelligent. So you can see these Brijbasis don't think that Krishna is God and there's no problem for him to go out in the forest. They don't think that Krishna will be that Krishna is so powerful he destroys the demons. He thinks if we just love him, that's all what they think about him. They never think about Krishna as being God, so they think he's just an extraordinary lovable boy. And this is what Krishna attracts, this affection which they have. And now they all sit, all the big leaders of Braj sit together and discuss, should he take out the cows or not? This is the question. So they finally come to the same conclusion. We all think the time is right for Krishna to take out the cow. We all agree with this conclusion. Then Braj Kings Nanda asked the leaders of the cow herds, why do you look at me in this way? Because we think you should allow Krishna Balaram to take out the cows. What do you think? So they discuss about these things. And and now a special dress is made, a festival is made, and finally with a big festival Krishna Balaram go for the first time out with the cows. Would you like to know how this scene was? Philip, yes? You. So, first everyone sang auspicious songs, then there was nice instrumental music, and Krishna then comes fully dressed like a cowherder. You know, he's just 6 years old. He comes before the Brahmana priests and worships the priests. Then he goes to the cows and offers them delicious grasses. Then he bows down to the priests and he gives them a donation. And then the priests stand there totally happy with folded hands and prepare to bless Krishna. Then Krishna's father Nanda Maharaj, who's the king of Braj, steps forward and gives Krishna a special cowherding stick which has jewels on it. Very nicely decorated. Then he goes back and Mother Yashoda comes forward and she makes a very special tilak on Krishna's forehead to mark the auspiciousness. And then Mother Yashoda says, Balaram, you stay before Krishna. Subal, you stay at Krishna's back. Shridam and Sudam, you stay at both of Krishna's sides. And other boys, you all stay around Krishna in all directions, because my little boy doesn't know what are his natural limits. He's sometimes going out of limits. And then she takes the hand of each boy and gives each boy a specific duty, and she sprinkles the boys with her tears. It's very difficult for Mother Yashoda to let Krishna go alone in the forest. And then Krishna offered respectful obeisances to his mother and father, and then he is ready to start his duties as a cowherd boy. And the first thing he says is, Jihi, 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 which is a command to bring all the cows together. But the cows are so overcome with bliss. Krishna has called them, they should come together, but the cows are so overcome with bliss that Krishna has called them that they stay where they are. It doesn't work, in other words. When the cows would not come to Krishna, Krishna went to the elderly people and say, what should be done now? The cows don't follow. So the elders just sent the cows somehow along the path, ping. and then as soon as Krishna and Balaram are going into the forest, they feel they are free from the iron shackles of their parents' loving glances. You know, like the parents look at them, that everything goes well. You know, and the boys feel it. It's like iron chains. You know, I don't know how you experience. You are not in the same situation, but I. So many people know. Sometimes people know sannyasis and they come here to Man Mandir and they just look at me, and then I feel I can't move freely any longer. It's like chains. How, what will you do? And so many people just look at you and so on. So now imagine this is Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj looking. Ooh, what can Krishna do? So, but finally they somehow have removed the parents out of the way, and the elders whose hearts were yearning to follow them, and now Krishna and Balaram are free. With quick steps they go in the direction of Govardhan Hill. And there in Govardhan Hill the cows become spread out over a large area. Never was there a time when Krishna and Balaram were hitting the cows with their sticks. It never happened, says Jiva Goswami. They were directing the cows with their loving words. They had different commands. I forgot the commands. I once knew them, but and they happily decorate each other, the cowherd boys, with the items from the forests, with leaves and flowers and minerals and so on. So when the cows were satisfied, Krishna and Balaram were also satisfied. When the cows were hungry, Krishna and Balaram felt hungry. Krishna and Balaram didn't have any life beyond the life of their cows. They were embracing the cows, they closely followed the cows, they fed the cows. Krishna shone with great splendor. Now when Krishna was for a moment not there, the cows became stunned. They couldn't move. They looked like painted pictures. The cows were always smelling Krishna, seeing Krishna, hearing Krishna, tasting Krishna, and touching Krishna. In this way they relished Sri Krishna, the great wonder which was moving amongst them. And this is very nice. The cowherd friends addressed Krishna and Balaram as Krishna and Rama, but sometimes they also addressed them as Rama and Krishna. They changed the sequence, in other words. So very nice. Descriptions. I want to end this now. Jiva Goswami says, plays the beautiful story about Krishna Balaram's cow herding within the ears. Please understand how Krishna Balaram were sweetly playing their flute. Krishna was playing sweetly his flutes. He was surrounded by the cowherd boys singing his glories. See, Krishna entered the forest, and when he entered the forest, he entered the hearts of his dear companions. This is the meditation on which this pastime ends. When Krishna entered the forest, he entered the hearts of the gopis. The gopis meditate about Krishna entering the forest of Vrindavan, decorated, laughing, playing, dancing over the ground, marking the ground of Vrindavan with his footprints. Usually Mother Earth is screaming when 9,000 cows walk over her and create wounds, you know, with their sharp hooves. But because Krishna walked over the earth following his cows, the wounds were closed, and Mother Earth was in ecstasy, and her trees and grasses grew. Yes, when Krishna would walk over the ground of Vrindavan, in his footsteps lotus flowers grew. This is Krishna. And now the devotees meditate about Krishna dressed in the dance, in the dress of a dancer, because he dances, holding his flute, having a yellow Karnikara flower over his right ear. And sometimes he takes that flower from his right ear and places it over his left ear, because he's playful. He likes to play. He's, why only in one ear? I also like to wear it on my left ear sometimes. This is how Krishna feels. And how he is mercifully curing Mother Earth. How he is embracing the cows who smell and touch and lick him. How he is exchanging love and jokes with his cowherd boys, like for instance when he eats, when they eat and a bee comes, Madhu Mangal gets irritated, and Krishna laughs about this and calls and says to the bee, "Oh bee, do you want to make an offense against a brahmana, or do you even want to kill my Brahmin friend Madhu Mangal?" And everyone laughs, because how can a bee kill someone, you know? But because Madhu Mangal is so afraid, Krishna takes this as an opportunity to joke about him, and they all laugh about Krishna's song. This is a little bit the whole mood in Vrindavan. It's playful, it's Leela. When the cowherd men walk over the ground of Vrindavan, they sing Krishna Sharanam Yaham, I take shelter at Krishna. When the cows are milked, they sing Krishna Sharanam Yaham, I take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. When Krishna holds the Govardhan hill on his little finger up, he sings Radha Sharanam Yaham, I take full shelter at Radharani. That's how he gets the strength to help the Govardhan hill. It's so full of love, this whole Radha Krishna Leela. When we read Gopal Champu and other such books, also Krishna book is so loving and nicely describing, then we hear a little bit about this love, and you will be surprised to hear the way to enter this loving ocean or loving dealing with Krishna is to first love the devotees. You have to first learn to love what you can see before you can love what you cannot yet see. You follow? So we can see the devotees. Krishna we can't see so easily. So let us love the devotees of Krishna by just serving them in a nice way and see that their needs are fulfilled. I made personally a very, very interesting realization. I was chanting here, and sometimes when I was chanting, I had this question, why it is said when we chant, we lose all our bad Parapta karma? And I still have so much pain from... And why it said that Radharani is so merciful to everyone who takes shelter when I could just faint with pain and only exist with painkillers? I was thinking this. Is everyone seems to be a devotee except for Satchidananda Swami. For him, this is not true. Then I read something very nice, which we read yesterday, but I want to repeat it to you. Even although I cannot remember any numbers, when I need to remember, I can do it on page. Oh, now I have 455. Yes, it says. What Krishna wants to do himself by his transcendental plans, that he executes through his confidential devotees. In other words, when Krishna wants to do something for you, he does this through his devotees. He works through his devotees. He takes the hands of the devotees. And when I was so in such a... When I was having this thing that where's the help of Krishna, then all of a sudden Radhanath came and Radhanath Maharaj and he said, you look very exhausted, is some pain in your life there? I said, nothing, only physical pain, no heart pain. And then he convinced me immediately, you must go to an expert. If you have for half a year painkillers, it's dangerous. You can do harm to your whole system. And I pay for you. I take you to Mumbai, and there you will meet our devotee crew, our doctor crew, and they will investigate you and do everything which is required. So I was seeing that here this is true. This was Krishna or Radharani acting through their devotees, you know, and helping. So I think this is a principle. I know that also our Madhava Prabhu, since I know him, he looks for a place where he can express himself and his devotion to Krishna fully, and you found Vashana, or Vashana found you, but then through the help of Ramesh Baba you found shelter here and something. So this shows how Krishna or Radharani acts through their devotees. We should therefore honor the devotees and serve the devotees. Now they are Krishna's hands or Radha's hands in this world. I have personally experienced this. So I'm very happy that you came from Radhakund. This is the end of our little evening. I will now give you a few things, but let us please switch off this mechanical devices which are like